Welcome to episode 36 of the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Fox. This week, we've something new. We've a brand new concept that I'm releasing. It's called the Ideas Lab. If you're a regular listener, you'll have been familiar with it. I released this as a concept a couple of weeks ago, told you guys about it, and it's now finally live. This is the first episode in what will be a fortnightly series. It'll come back in 2020. This is the last one for this year, the first and last in one episode. If you like the concept, do let me know. It's something that's brand new that I'm working on. So if you do enjoy it, let me know. Today's episode is with Mr. David Delahunty. Regular listeners will be familiar with David. He's a good friend of mine and also one of the smartest people I know in terms of new concepts and ideas. So good, in fact, he's written a whole book on it, his Five Ideas a Day book, which is where we're checking out. He's an infinite source of ideas and someone I go to regularly to kind of bounce new ideas off and to just chat. So we normally do this every couple of weeks anyway over a coffee. So I was like, do you know what? Let's put the mic on and record it. We talk on a huge range of things, from biohacking to vegan versions of normal food to fitness trends to living longer to the no-code movement, everything. We bounce around a huge amount of ideas. The idea for this is that hopefully you'll get some new ideas for yourself, either for your business or for creating a new business. So hope you enjoy it. If you do, as I said, do let me know. I'll see you next week. By the time you've listened to this, we'll have done our live episode of the podcast last night, which will be going out next Thursday at 6 a.m. I will chat to you then. David.
Hello.
Welcome to the first ever Ideas Lab.
It's good to be back.
Take two.
Take two.
You noted I hadn't pressed record the last time. So here we go. We're off.
Yes.
The Ideas Lab. So the Ideas Lab is our first ever video podcast.
Yeah.
Where we sit down every fortnight and just basically do what we normally do over coffee. Just talk about ideas.
Except on camera.
Except on camera and with a lovely bright light in front of us. So, yes. Let's kick straight into it.
Yes.
What ideas are you mulling over at the minute, or what's making you excited for 2020?
We were just chatting about this the other day, the hashtag no code movement. And I think that's starting to really take off, especially in the US.
So what is that, just for anyone who's not familiar with it?
It's basically a set of tools that people can use to create apps and website products for people who have no programming background or knowledge, like myself.
Like me.
Yeah, like you.
You're far more advanced than I am. But yeah, I built my website on Squarespace, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of stuff. But like also, if you wanted to create an app, you can use Google Sheets, which will convert into an app, stuff like that. Can't remember the product's name, but there's a serious amount of products popping up, and I think people are starting to jump on the gravy train and really starting to ride that bandwagon.
So if someone was trying to, like, if they had a business idea and they're trying to, like, bring it live, what kind of stuff could they do?
Now, you could certainly build an MVP for, if you were, like, for example, if you had an idea, you can certainly build, a basic MVP. You couldn't exactly build, like, an Airbnb or a TikTok or anything on that scale, but you could certainly build something to get it to that level, and you'd be in a much better position if you were going for funding if you had something built, like an MVP. So if you have an idea, you can quickly test and build and get it to market to see if it works or not, rather than spending tens and hundreds of thousands building an app and then realizing it doesn't actually work and you've wasted maybe a year or two and a serious amount of money. Now you can build those apps and those products online and with those set of no code tools.
I think MakerPad is one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, Ben Tossel, I think. Yeah. He's behind that and it's really kind of taken off. And also Webflow is a new tool out now to build websites. That's really challenging.
Webflow.
Yeah.
We'll link all this below. But yeah.
Yeah, and they're really challenging WordPress. So I've used WordPress in the past. I've used it for two of my products, Designer's Humor, which is a very basic kind of blog with memes for designers. It's very, very straightforward. So I use WordPress because it's quick and easy. And then I paid a dev house to build mousecrafted. My design resource marketplace, and they built that on top of WordPress because I wanted to be able to on the fly quickly change the website, and they used that. Now in hindsight, looking back, now it was probably a hindrance, but I didn't have those tools of like Webflow
yeah.
to build. Now if I was to do it again, I'm not going to, but if I was to do it again for the marketplace, I'd use Webflow because it's a lot lighter and it's a lot faster and it's a lot easier, and you're not so heavily reliant, especially with WordPress, if you every few months you have to update WordPress. Mm. So what happens is when you update WordPress, all the plugins have to be updated, and some plugins might not work great with other plugins. And what I found was when I updated WordPress, my marketplace crashed. So I had to revert back to the previous version, which I'm still on, like two years later. So
if someone's not technical, like I wouldn't be very technical. Mm. I know kind of the rough where the nuts and bolts are. So if someone's not technical, they can use something like this to build a fairly standard but good looking website.
Oh yeah, Webflow, I mean, I've nothing, like I wanted to actually test it. So I challenged myself to redesign my portfolio, kuidesign.com. And I built it in 4 days. And in that time frame, literally on the first day, I was like, yeah, this is 10 times better than WordPress. Like, I'm telling everybody,
if you're on WordPress, it's pretty damn good as it is.
Yeah, if you're on WordPress, I'm telling people migrate over to Webflow if you can, you know, if that's a possibility. But if you're starting from scratch and you're thinking of using WordPress, I'd highly recommend checking out Webflow.
100%. Someone's got a business idea, 2020, use some sort of no code to just get it out there.
Yeah, even it's Webflow, they've introduced payments now, so like you can sell, you know, if you're thinking of setting up an e-commerce store, you can definitely use, you know, Webflow, and they're constantly updating and innovating and adding new features and new tools. And they actually had a hashtag no code conference over in the US. I don't know if you heard about that, but like it was huge. I mean,
really?
Yeah, it was like proper, like it was on the scale of like not Web Summit, but like a little bit below Web Summit, but like it's a pretty big deal over there.
This is kind of the whole point of this podcast / like video podcast, is to kind of like try pick out a couple of trends that are coming up. Mm. Like we talked this morning over breakfast about riding the wave.
Yeah.
Like you want to get in, you want to start paddling when you can see it about a mile away, because it takes so long to ramp up any idea.
Yeah.
Like someone said, three times as long and three times as expensive as you think it's going to be. And that's probably optimistic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even if you do see a trend coming, it probably pays to be a year early or six months early.
Because I definitely see people on my Twitter feed asking more questions about the hashtag no code, and people, you know, setting up new websites where they're basically aggregating all the tools and they're using that to drive traffic to their website. And I definitely see people kind of riding that wave. And it's still early days. I mean, I don't think people have fully realized it. Certainly in Ireland, nobody's really talking about the no-code movement.
That's cool. So that's one, no-code movement. So ideally, this podcast, videocast, will kind of give people hopefully tools to start their own business, but also maybe in a couple of ideas that they can start kind of mulling over and start kind of thinking about. Where do you look for new ideas? Like, where do you spot stuff like no code?
Because that's the industry that I'm in, design, kind of digital marketing, I'm always exposed to those tools.
Mm.
And it's just on my Twitter feed, the founder of Webflow, I followed him just purely because people were talking about it like a year ago, and I was like, I need to check this out, and he's a really interesting dude. So I followed him, and I was just watching his tweets, and you know, they raised funding rounds of like, I think it was like 150 million. So for people to put that much money behind something, they obviously see there's a future in it. So like, I was like, okay, well this is going to go somewhere. So, just followed him, and I just saw that, you know, this was going to take off. But for me to kind of, where I find my ideas is just problems that I have throughout the day. I'm at a point now where I just note them down. Mm. Where most people, if they have an issue with the product that they're using, or if it's, you know, transport, or if they're out and about and they see problems, they just go, oh Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, wouldn't it be great if there was a solution to that? So I just go, wouldn't it? Basically, what I do is I just write it down. Like, it'd be great if it was. If there's a solution to this problem that I'm having at the time, and I just write them down in my notes app, and I just collect them. And if people are in a certain niche or industry and they're looking for to create a product or looking for an idea, I always think it's great to just ask people, you know, what's your biggest headache in that niche. So a great place to start is I'm not a big fan of Facebook, but if you're on Facebook, Facebook groups, you can. So for example, if I'm in the fitness industry, I'll go and I'll join, I'll search fitness on Facebook and search by groups. Mm. And then I'll find the biggest one there. And I'll just go on there. I'll ask a question like, what's your biggest headaches when it comes to buying protein, or when it comes to, you know, yeah, taking protein, you know? And people can come back with like, oh, you know, the flavors, there's not enough flavors, or could be even now with the whole, you know, anti-meat, could be like, oh, there's not enough, you know, vegan options, yeah, and they're very expensive. And then like, people love to be asked questions. Like, it's different if I was to go on, I was to sell something, people hate, yeah, that. Yeah. But if you ask somebody a question, they love to kind of give their answer, and they love to kind of add their two cents. Mm. So I think it's always good to kind of, and it's free. It's not like you have to pay someone to go off and do market research. You have your kind of your audience there if you're searching for, and you're you know, so for the fitness one, for example. So it's just finding what, and also I think another kind of obvious answer is you have to be passionate about something. You know, there's no point in me starting a product to do with finance, because I hate anything to do with like accountancy or anything like that. I hate doing my accounts. I hate like tax and all that jargon. So like, I wouldn't try and build a product in that area, but I'd build a product in, you know, the creative industry or even fitness. Like I'm into fitness and stuff like that. So like, just the industries and the niches that you're passionate about, I'd start there. Mm. Don't think just because there's a lot of money going on in, you know, for example, in tech, that I need to build something in tech. It could be a physical product, it could be something, but just make sure you're passionate about it. Like, if
I
it's
think
building,
that's the trap a lot of people fall into.
Yeah,
is that, they just, oh, there's money over there, yeah, I'll just go over there. And there's also the element of, I had this discussion with someone during the week about, you know, it's kind of a cliche to follow your passion, but it's so important.
Yeah.
Because you're going to do this day after day after day after day after day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you might make that money. Mm. You might make that money for 6 months, 12 yeah. months. How long can you sustain the hope and the slash greed that you're going to make money?
Yeah.
So it'll have to be, you've touched on one of the trends I was going to bring up.
Okay.
Curated groups.
Okay.
Curated newsletters, created groups, the Facebook groups. Yeah. I'd gone away from Facebook. I was like, oh, Facebook, ugh. I kind of like was trying to hop in on the new thing.
Yeah.
But I joined a group recently, and part of that group, it's a newsletter, and part of the newsletter is a Facebook group.
Mm.
I was like, oh, check this out.
It's yeah.
really active because it's niche. So one of my things for 2020 is niche groups, niche curated groups.
You'd be surprised, because when I set up my online course on Grow Your Clicks,
pick that up to you.
You need to add sound effects on dropping the hammer. I did a survey because I wanted a group. I wanted some sort of community where people could talk, you know, to each other.
Yeah.
And I did a poll. I said, like, would you rather me set up on Facebook, Slack, or I think, and then another one was, I can't remember, it might have been WhatsApp. And resounding, it was Facebook. Mm. And it was like 90% Facebook.
Slack at such a moment, like literally, it was like a moment. It was there and then gone.
That's
was,
I kind of
like 6 months maybe where Slack group.
But the thing
join
is
Slack
that,
group.
But the thing is, that's another trend that I want to talk about. Is again, is this remote work movement that's happening? This pro remote people moving towards working remotely. You know, I see a lot of like big companies are kind of slowly introducing it. Mm. And now again, it's slowly being introduced in Ireland. Like, still people are like, oh, you want to work from remote? Why? Why? We need you in the office. It's just like, if you're a developer, it's like, do I really need to be in the office? Like, what I'm doing doesn't really need much human interaction. Like, I'm just sitting at my laptop anyway for 8 or 9 hours of the day. Like, I'm not being bothered. Like, can I not just do that at home? And a lot of the big companies over in San Francisco have that option for people. You know, and they find that people who work remotely are actually more productive because they don't have someone looking over their shoulder. They know what they have to do. They're adults. They're being treated like as adults. So I definitely think if you build tools, there are tools out there like Slack and you know, Skype and stuff like that too, and Zoom I think is another one, to kind of bring people who are working remotely closer together. But I definitely think there's a space in that for people to build products, for that kind of movement.
I think remote work is the biggest no-brainer in the next 10 years.
Yeah.
I think if you can build, you know, it's such a big area though. I think if you've nailed it there with like
think of underneath. Like, there's all this stuff that's going to happen underneath to allow people to remote work.
Yeah.
Is it home offices?
Yeah.
Is it building custom home offices?
Mm.
Is it doing social outings so that once a month everyone gets on site? Is it becoming a company that organizes offsites for remote workers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, there's so many. If you start, I was at an event this morning and your man was talking about shares. And he's like, you know, don't think of like, you know, oh, I'm going to buy shares in Tesla. He's like, go below.
What's building the Tesla?
And I was like, oh.
That's Silicon Valley. Do you remember? I don't know if you...
That parody show.
Yeah, but there was an episode. Now, I only watched, I think, the first two seasons. I think they're like on season five. But there was one episode where the guy who's going in for investment. Now, I'm probably going to butch this, but I don't know his name either. And the main character, the dude who kind of started the startup, he went in to meet this like big time investor. But he was a real introvert. He was real weird. And like his kind of like assistant was saying, like, now, like, she was kind of giving him a lowdown before you go into him. Now he's a little bit quirky and stuff like that. But anyway, he went in and your man was saying, like, you know, I McDonald's burgers. He's like, yeah. And he's like, the bun. He's like, yeah. He's like, the sesame seeds on the bun.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. I basically provide the sesame seeds on the bun. Like, yeah. I bought like some fields out in, you know, Manila or whatever that are, you know, like, that produce like millions and billions of like these sesame seed plants. Like, and he invested in that rather than investing in McDonald's. He invested in the sesame seeds, and I was just like, it's genius. Like,
yeah.
But it's also like, it was just kind of funny. It was like, people don't think that, like, and that kind of like deep thinking. They just kind of think like, oh, like stock. Oh, McDonald's are doing well. Let's invest in McDonald's. But it's like that. It's like, who are providing the sesame seeds to McDonald's?
Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't.
I think, like, that's probably a big thing to take away from today's episode, is it's not always like, don't always go for the sexy.
Yeah.
Don't always like, oh, Tesla. Don't always like go for the fancy, going, oh, I must build something that is sexy and cool. Think of like all the components that go into a bigger business.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a small entrepreneur, if you're like just like a solo entrepreneur like us, or, you know, you have small resources or small team.
Yeah.
It's often easier to pick niche, go super niche.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, one of my things is niche groups, niche newsletters, niche, yeah, and going properly into a space.
Because people are just, I think they're kind of scared. It's like, oh, well, the audience size is so small. But it's just like, it's like that Tim Ferriss, well, he didn't come up with the quote, but like the 1,000 true fans.
It's like, unbelievable. I'll link that as well. Kevin Kelly, isn't it?
Kevin Kelly, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
Everyone keeps saying it's Tim Ferriss that came
up with
it.
Well, he's like, he's appropriated
it. It's like that meme where it's, you know, it's the cartoon characters holding the box. And it's like, I made this. And then the other person is like, you made this. And then he takes it. And he's like, now I made this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's that kind of.
Well, he's quite good at that in terms of, he's able to wrap himself up in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And it's a good strategy, you know, and he does come up with a lot of good stuff, but he does become synonymous with delivering the messages that people might have got out themselves, as well. So he's good at that. What else are you looking at for next year that you'd love to get involved in?
That I'd love to get involved in, or that I can see a trend?
Either one.
There's
literally no script.
Like, at the moment, I'm kind of just focusing on my own stuff and just kind of update my portfolio, like I was saying to you. So for the last 2 months, I've been heavily in that. But just from like an ear to a ground, I definitely see this anti-meat, you know, this vegan movement, the game changers. The fact that Burger King brought out like a vegan Whopper, it's just, this is going to start taking off. Like, I definitely see that industry. So maybe if someone's in that kind of health food, if they're looking at, you know, even like looking what Burger King did, which just took the Whopper and now they're creating a vegan version. Is there anything that's popular with people that you can create like a vegan version, you know? So like maybe something in that, but I definitely think that's gonna take off. Like that whole game changers, it just split people down. Like, I watched it. Now, from my point of view, I definitely think it's very biased towards vegan eaters.
I thought it was complete propaganda.
Yeah, it is. It's complete propaganda. It's they're talking about, like, you know, this one Olympian who won gold and she's a vegan, but they don't talk about, well, what about the 1,000 other Olympians that year that won gold? That was the
mental thing. They took a sample size of one.
Yeah.
Oh, I did really well.
Yeah.
she probably would have done really well on me. Mm. She's probably a naturally gifted athlete or has determination. Or,
and then it's like Conor McGregor ate two steaks and he lost to Diaz, who was vegan. But it's like, yeah, but then he fought Diaz again. He was still eating the steaks and he beat Diaz. Yeah, like, and then Diaz was only vegan for that fight. It's not like he's vegan like forever. It was just for that. But anyway,
I admire the marketing behind it. Well,
McGregor had to drop down weight for that fight as well in a short time period, so that obviously affected it. But I just thought it was just like, I watched it, but I was just like, oh, I just knew it was going to be biased. And then you have the strong man who's saying he was the world's strongest man, but then he never actually won world's strongest man, and all the actual strong men that won world's strongest man were like, yeah, we don't even know who this guy is.
Yeah,
you know, he was just like, it's just,
it was amazing. It just captured, it's funny how things, that's kind of what we're talking about today in terms of trends and stuff. Mm. That was one of those things that just blew up.
Yeah,
everyone's talking about it. It's and I love kind of like digging underneath to go, why did that blow up now?
Mm.
What was it? Like, it was very slick marketing.
Oh yeah.
They'd wrap themselves up in this lovely package of celebrity kind of like pseudoscience. So they had Arnold Schwarzenegger on there, and they had like a load of people who were kind of not really vegan, but were kind of associated with it. Like you know, Lewis Hamilton, he didn't appear on camera.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? True.
All these, he never was on camera.
He's an F1 driver.
You know what I mean? So like,
what's his footprint?
He's a producer. Oh, okay, but it was an unbelievable marketing. I think as a marketing example,
it was scaremongering. I think what they should have done, which would have been fair, and I'd like to see comparing someone who's purely plant based with someone who eats meat but eats a lot of plants as well, and then checking, you know,
over years.
Yeah, over years,
10 years. The lads of the burritos are here.
Like, oh yeah,
we're going to breed us tonight, and then we're going to measure tomorrow and see how we are.
it
was bananas. Like, I enjoyed it as much as I'd enjoy watching cartoons or something, in that it occupied me for like an hour. But I was like, what?
There should have been disclaimers.
Apparently Haas avocados were like one of the big sponsors of it. They like bankrolled a lot of it.
And then they were going on about how like all their findings in the meat, saying meat's good for you, was done by, you know, one of the biggest meat food chains. I'm just like, really? I'm just like,
but like, there's always something behind. You know, everyone's trying to sell you something. I think you got to be very eyes open to all this stuff. Everyone's trying to promote something, you know, veganism or eating meat or eating milk or drinking milk, not drinking milk. Yeah. You know, there's always like, it's just balance. I think that's what I finally learned is like, just balance.
I think, you need to just do the research for yourself. It's like anything I do, I always test it and see, you know, dairy. I just went through a period of like having a lot of dairy, and then I just reduced my dairy, and now I don't really have that much dairy. And I definitely felt like a change. When I was taking a lot of yogurts, drinking a lot of milk, I felt lethargic, and then I reduced it and pretty much cut it out. Now I have oat milk in my coffees and no dairy. Mm. And I definitely feel a lot more clarity.
Segues beautifully onto my next trend.
Okay.
Biohacking.
Right.
Just individual nutrition and individual medicine. I think that's going to be massive because, like you just said there, I could have milk today, I could have 2 pints of milk today, flying it. You could have 2 pints of milk today, feel absolutely shit.
Yeah.
So, like, I think everyone's trying to look for that bullet. We talked about this in terms of business a while ago. Everyone's looking for that magic bullet. What's Dave doing? Dave's shredded. Dave goes to gym a lot. I'll just copy Dave.
Yeah.
I mightn't have the digestive system that you do. I won't have your genes.
Yeah.
I won't have. You've been training for 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
Your muscle fibers are developed.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a massive movement towards more evidence based training and diet.
I definitely think mental health is becoming just as important, and rightly so, as physical health. You know, this mindset and like meditation and yoga, I think, is definitely becoming more mainstream the last year or two, and I think it's great. And, you know, I think a lot of problems, physical problems, stem from actually mental problems. And if you can sort out the mental problems, you've quickly realized that the physical problems will start going away. And I always
linking those two. I think for so long we didn't ever link those two, and we never really kind of went. The mind controls the body, you know, goes from the top down. We always kind of went, oh, the body is here and the mind is here, and the two of them totally separate. But like, you've been reading my notes,
like the I'm on camera, You see, I haven't. The biohacking is interesting because a lot of people, when they get up in the morning, and this is, I used to do this, first thing they'll do is, I'm tired, I'll have a cup of coffee, and that'll get me going. But when you wake up in the morning, you've sweat, like during the night you sweat, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 pints of water. You're dehydrated. You wake up dehydrated, and what you do, you grab a coffee, which dehydrates you more. So then you start getting headaches. You actually feel less tired. So what you should do is, when you wake up, is have a glass of water, room temperature glass of water. You can put some Himalayan pink salt in that, which will hydrate you quicker. And then after you've had that, then you can have your coffee. But you want to do is, you want to hydrate yourself, not actually dehydrate yourself more. So,
but again, that probably comes from marketing. You know, yeah, you got to have your coffee in the morning. I'm guilty of saying this. I haven't had my coffee yet. Sorry, I'm a bit slow.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was only this year, I think I read it in Aubrey Marx's book. I think we were talking about this.
He's a big believer in like exercise in the morning.
And he's maybe too far the other way, but like we'll be somewhere in the middle.
He's kind of like, I'm going to go away for 2 months into the Himalayan desert now and
talk to rocks.
Take some herbs.
But like, yeah, that was his thing. And I only read that during the year. I think I read his book and I was like, it makes total sense though when you think about it. Like if we did nothing but sit here for the next 8 hours.
Yeah.
Imagine how dehydrated you'd be.
Yeah.
You'd be going off your rocker. You'd be like, oh my God, I'm starving, dehydrated.
You get cranky, you can't focus. So it's important that you have that in the morning, so then you've got that clarity. And also, if you can, a little bit of exercise goes a long way.
Today's big trend, water.
Water with some pink pink Himalayan sea salt.
So we have roughly 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Hit me with another trend or another insight.
A trend or an insight. So we've touched on the remote.
The mindset
one. I was thinking about this actually... the other day, was home videos that my parents have on VHS and tape. Is there a service out there that can digitize that, so then we can have that in digital format, so we don't lose that?
That's interesting.
I don't know if there is anything out there. I haven't.
I imagine there is. I'd imagine
like a way to
send it away, and they could probably upload it to the cloud. There's probably a big room with all these machines that can just. But it's a good point. No one has a VHS player anymore. So how are you going to get that off? That is a good one, actually. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, because I'd love to know actually if anybody knows. I could probably just Google it after this.
DM Dave if you know. And go back on something you said. The mindset.
Yeah.
And self development. That's one of my big goals for next year. Is working on myself.
Yeah, of course.
So we've kind of gone through this year, we've done a lot. You know, with the business and personally, and kind of next year is kind of like just a mindset year, just like getting your mindset right, because that sets everything else in train. Like, what do you do? What kind of trends or stuff, not even train, but what kind of habits do you do for your mindset, you know, as a solo entrepreneur? How do you keep that mindset?
I think touched on it, my morning routine kind of shapes me for the day, and that's just the, you know, the water, a little bit of exercise. I try and stay off the phone for as long as I can, you know, myself and Aoife, my wife, when we get up in the morning, we get up around 6, but we don't, you know, go on our phones or whatever. She goes off to work at around 7:30, 7:00, but in that hour and a half we just make sure to kind of just wake up together, have a chat, just kind of ground yourself before you start checking your emails, looking at that blue light.
You're on someone else's time then.
Yeah, exactly.
You're on someone else's clock. I've only started doing that. Like,
the worst thing you can do is open up your emails, because you could see something and then you're like, oh no, like I have to get back to this now. Whereas if you just left your phone there for an hour and a half, it's going to make no difference. Do you know what I mean? It's not life or death. So the one thing is I'm going to try and make more of an effort, and Aoife as well, it's just to leave our phone outside of the bedroom.
That's what I started doing only like literally a week ago.
But like Aoife's like, oh, what about an alarm clock? And I was just like, well, we can buy
an alarm clock. That's the trend for today. Yeah. Selling alarm clocks. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah.
Because I just the little blue light. I've all my notifications turned off.
But your phone lights up in the middle of the night.
And you're like, and
you can turn it down.
Subconsciously, like, just there's almost like a trigger. You wake up and again, this has happened to me, whereby I've woken up and subconsciously I've done that. Or so look at the time or something, I'll see a notification, I'm like, oh my God.
Exactly.
And it sets me down this spiral.
Or if I have to go to the toilet at night, I'll take my phone and I'll use that as as a torch. Like I click on the home screen and use it as a torch to get to the toilet. But the fact that, like you, if I see a notification, I'm like, oh no, like a missed call or an email preview, I'm like, oh geez. And then I'm wide awake.
Yeah,
and
that
I'm
jumps like, me into the day. Yeah. Maybe it jumps me back to yesterday when I had this problem.
Yeah.
Or jumps me forward to like the next day and it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
Nothing I can do about it now. Mm. But mentally I'm like, oh, beating myself up over it. Going down this like rabbit hole. Yeah, I think that is gonna be huge. It sounds so obvious. But like unplug.
Mm.
Unplugging. I think there's already a shift towards mindfulness and a shift towards like minimalism. It's a great word, a book, Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, and Deep Work. Just this going away from.
But there's with the Facebook, the security and the privacy thing, and everyone kind of like the hashtag delete Facebook, there's definitely this anti-social media movement happening as well, where people are trying to turn off and switch off and just realizing the power of just even like taking a Saturday or a Sunday, like Sunday phone free day.
Yeah.
You know, I always try and like go on airplane mode. Like, and
it's harder than you think. It's much harder than you
it
think.
Is. Yeah, it is. It is, especially when you work for yourself, like you kind of have to be online 24/7. You have to be contactable. So, but I still do make a genuine effort to just switch off, because you need that. Otherwise it's go 24/7. And eventually you're going to burn out. So like you need some sort of, if it's like exercise is great, and this is very kind of health and fitness podcast, but like I feel like exercise is so underrated for mental health, you know, because when you exercise after, you get this kind of what's the word I'm looking for?
Endorphin rush.
Like it's just like a natural endorphins. You just feel good and you actually sleep better, and that's why I always say like start the day, because you get that natural endorphin rush and it's just a good kickstart to the day. You know, you get your energies up, you're more focused. And yeah, it's just exercise is just like it's free. You don't need to join a gym. You know, you can buy a skipping rope and
go for a run.
I do it at home. Like, I've got a skipping rope. I do it at home. So it's just in the morning, 5-10 minutes skipping, off you go.
Cool. Yeah. I'll link everything we've talked about down below. Dave, thanks very much. That's Ideas Lab number one wrapped up.
So there you go. That's the first Ideas Lab in the bag with Mr. Dave Delahunty. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, give me some feedback. It's always good to know. This is also available on YouTube, so you can go check that out. It's worth it just for the blooper reel at the end that I made a mistake on, so check that out. The idea is that these are commutable length episodes. What I mean by that is they'll be around 30-35 minutes long. You'll be able to stick on your way to work or your way home or jump into the car, and just quick, short, insightful episodes that'll hopefully give you some new ideas for your personal life, for your own business, or for new businesses that you want to start. I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'll see you next Thursday at 6 a.m. Thank you so much for listening.